Welcome to the Beyond Sundays podcast. I am your host, Brett Stewart, and today I have with me Jeffrey Blake Turner.
Oh, middle name.
You like that?
That is my middle name.
What's my middle name, Jeffrey?
Blake. I don't know your middle name.
Yes, you do.
Brett Allen.
There it is. See, you knew it.
That came to me in the moment. That was actually, I'm proud of myself. I'm patting myself on the back right now. So, hey, this is episode two, Beyond Sundays.
Episode two, and we have another great story or stories. Today we have Franz and Jessica Hallgren.
Worked with Jessica for a long time.
I almost said Franz and Jessica.
That is not her name.
That would have come out weird. The Franz and the Hallgren, it was, anyways. Franz and Jessica Hallgren. Yeah, I've only worked with her for six and a half years.
They got an incredible story, and they're like just walked through it in this last year and a half, I think.
Just recently.
Franz had a tumor, and I mean, it was just, at times it was really touch and go. Is he going to live? And what is that going to do to family? And we had it was a raw conversation with them about like having to navigate what might happen if Franz doesn't make it through this surgery and through this tumor. And I mean, it was a raw conversation. It was good to hear their stories and their heart.
Yeah, it was. And just navigating, where is God? How do you find God? How do you walk in obedience in the midst of that?
Yeah. How do I have faith in the dark times?
Yeah. I mean, we could have talked to them for hours, but we had a great conversation, and we encourage you to. We'll put a way to reach out to them. If their story touches you, or if maybe you're going through something difficult, I know that both of them, they love to minister and love to pray for people. And so we definitely want you to be able to connect with them, because you might be going through something very similar. And again, their story is one that will strengthen all of us. And that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast, to remind all of us and to hear the stories of the God who did still does. It was a great conversation, and I'm excited for how it's going to affect the hearts of everyone listening, including our own.
Yeah. So let's jump right in.
All right. Today we have Franz and Jessica Hallgren with us. Franz, Jessica, tell us who you are, what you do, and how long you've been at Beltway. And then we'll jump into why we have you here today.
Well, my name is Franz, as you know, and I manage a cabinet shop, and I'm married to this lovely lady, Jessica. We've been married for 14 years.
You can't tell.
You weren't totally sure about that.
Jessica just put the numbers on her hand to help Franz out.
That was close.
And we live here in Abilene. We've lived here for 7 years, I think.
I don't remember.
About that, maybe 6 years, somewhere around there. We've been going to Beltway for about 7 years.
Yeah. Got two girls.
8 years. 8 years, and we have two girls. They're 10 and 8, 9. Wait,
you need to start this over. Goodness. He just totally, you need I to just... let me talk.
No, this is great.
We have an 11, right we here. Have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old that are about to be 12 and that's 10.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
Just
you're stuck
everything.
Back a couple years ago.
Yeah, but once it's like close to the birthdays, it all starts to jumble together.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's sorry. Okay.
That's a good
it's,
thing.
You know
Jeffrey.
What? It's been a long
I've been
work
there.
That was
I messed it up on stage one time.
Franz had a brain tumor. Give him a break. That's what we're going to talk about today.
The last time I was able to use that excuse was about 4 months ago. I think I've lost that ability to use that excuse. Maybe it's been a little over a year.
You know,
it depends on what it's for.
I think if you were to shave your head and show the scars, you could start to use that excuse.
Well,
again.
I do. You know, actually, I cut my hair real short, and you can see the scar pretty well.
I can't see right now because
it's a number seven. We call it the number of completion. There's not going to be another brain tumor.
That's right. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's right.
It's not going to grow back.
Jess, what do you do? You're part of our team here.
Yes. So I'm Jessica, obviously. I'm the women's pastor here at Beltway Park. And we've been coming to Beltway since August of 2013 is when we landed here.
She's precise.
2 days.
The Franz is like, I don't know,
2 days
eight,
after I was saved.
9 years.
And ooh. So, awesome. No, actually, it was four
Three days
after you
four
were
days.
Saved. Yeah, because you were saved on a Saturday, and
that's
we started
this
here on
marriage
Wednesday.
Marriage in a nutshell right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. But, and I started working at Beltway in August of 2014 as a CDC preschool teacher.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And worked there for a couple years. And then felt like God was calling me to full-time employment here and applied, and there wasn't a position. And so I started working here in the youth ministry in 2017, I think. So worked in the CDC through 2016. Started youth ministry in 2017, and the rest is history. I'll be 3 years in current position September 1st.
Wow.
It's crazy. That 3 years has flown by.
So the big part of why we wanted to sit down and chat with y'all is this last year was wild for the world, but it was real wild for y'all over the last couple of years.
Yeah,
so.
What is COVID?
So tell us a little bit about Franz. You had a brain tumor, and just tell us a little bit about like what this whole process has been like, and kind of how you've seen God move in the middle of it, and the highs, lows. I mean, there's a ton of both, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, anybody listening to this podcast, they need to know that if they feel like there's something going on with their body, they need to be more adamant about really making sure they figure out what's going on, because it was years of these random, weird, pounding headaches, and like my quality of life just degraded so much. And it was slow onset. It was a slow onset, so I didn't realize how bad it had got. And March of 2020, they finally decided to let me get an MRI. I say let me get an MRI, so I felt like. And, you know, and it's crazy how they will.
So the same month, it was March of 2020?
The same month when the world shut down, at least, you know, started
I
to in
I do not remember
Texas.
It being then. That is wild.
And I was at that point, it was so bad that I would sleep all the time. I'd just get to work, and I would just sit with my head in my arms on my desk until like 11 o'clock or so, trying to just be able to function, you know. Excuse me. And then like they're like, okay, well, we'll go ahead and we'll schedule you for an MRI. And then COVID hits, right? And so at this point, I'm like already just ready to die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Their genius planning and scheduling, what they did is they for whatever reason stopped all of the heart surgeries and then any brain issues or anything like that, and actually they thought there was something going on with my spine, and so I couldn't get an MRI until May.
Oh man,
it was actually May 6th or 9th, something like that. And I mean, I called them eventually and I was like, you know, I've got to do something. I can't even do this anymore, you know.
By that time it had become so unbearable that he could hardly move. He would come home, he would barely eat dinner, he would go lay down, even laying down and taking anything they had given him narcotics, they wouldn't touch it. And so he would just go lay down, he wouldn't function, couldn't function with me and the kids, and was in so much pain. And he'd get up in the morning and say, I don't know how I'm going to get to work, I'm in so much pain. I had no grid for what he was going through. I'm like, dude, buck it up. Like, take some Excedrin migraine.
Yeah, exactly.
And so...
So it was every day. I mean, you were having that kind of pain.
Yeah, it was so... There was all kinds of weird things. I was starting to have visual problems, and, like, I'd get these weird black spots. And, like, I would drive in my truck for 30 minutes, and then I would get out. And then all of a sudden, my whole upper part of my body would just go completely numb.
Wow.
Like, totally numb. You know, and it... Man. And it's funny how, like, in those moments, you want to discount it. Like, you want to say, you know what, this isn't really... I mean, I was trying these weird neck pillows. I was trying to go to a chiropractor. I was trying massages. You know what I mean? I never really would have thought, like, oh, I've got a brain tumor. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I finally go get this MRI, and they set me down in this little room, and, like, I'm just like, okay, whatever. They're just like, we're just reviewing a couple things, you know? And I started thinking, man... I feel like there's something wrong.
Yeah, that's
here.
One of those that you're like, nah, I don't know if you're really just trying to figure out a couple of things.
Yeah, exactly. And they walk in and like they were just like, we can see that you have a tumor growing in your, you know, at the base of your skull. And I was like, I mean, for a minute there, it just didn't compute. You know what I mean? Mm. Like you somebody says that to you and you're like, okay. They're like, you need to go ahead and go to the emergency room like right now. And I was like, really? Like right now? Oh. You think I got to do this right now? And then they finally got this urologist out of...
Not urologist.
No, I'm sorry. Radiologist. Radiologist. Oh. Out of Oklahoma to call me and talk to me about it. And he was like, look, they couldn't really see because they could just see the base of it, you know, because they scanned my back and not my head.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But they could see that it was up there. Mm. And he's like, you need to go to the ER, like, right now. And I was like, okay, you know. And so I started driving over to the Buffalo Gap Hendrick facility. And I called Jessica, and I was like, I've got a tumor in my brain. And she was like... No way.
I don't actually, what I said that's not funny.
Yeah, that's right.
Where, yeah.
I was up here at work. It was a Wednesday night.
Oh.
And so I was getting ready to go greet in the hall. And then he calls me and says that. And I mean, sometimes we can joke about stuff with each other. So I'm thinking, well, that's not funny. Why would you joke about that? And he's like, no, I'm really serious. I need you to come. So I drove to the ER, but of course it's COVID, so you can't get in.
I know, and they...
Oh, so you just sat in the parking lot.
Well, I was sitting in the parking lot praying, and then Randy Turner called up there, pulled some strings, and was able to talk to some people that work up there, and somehow there was a loophole that day that he ended up calling me back and saying, no, you can get in. But at that point, our entire... church family, like people that walk closely with us, just start showing up in the parking lot and crawling in the car with me and crying with me and praying with me and like praying for Franz and saying it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
so what's going through your mind at that point, Franz?
You know, it's weird to say this, but almost nothing.
Yeah.
Cause you're just like trying to compute like what's going on. I mean, there was a part of me that was actually kind of relieved that, you know, like
you finally had an answer.
Yeah, because it's been years of this that's been coming on, and it's like, wow, okay, so this is really what's going on. And I was in a sense relieved for that, but then I was like, okay, so I've got this brain tumor, and then I get this other lady that came, I got another MRI at Hendrick, and then they could really see it all. And I don't think they showed us there, and this other lady came in and she's, you know, talking surgery and trying to push me to go to Lubbock and, you know, and it's,
she was a neurologist.
Yeah.
She would have been the brain surgeon here in Abilene, but she said that that wasn't anything that they could handle locally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of where it was.
Yeah. It was it was basically right at the base of my skull, right on the top of my spinal cord.
Yeah.
Like up in there.
And it was enmeshed in all the nerves that control everything, like seeing, walking, talking, hearing.
All of a sudden those weird symptoms that you couldn't have any reason to couldn't figure out why, they kind of make a little sense.
I know. Yeah, it was it actually had gotten pretty big. It was about the size of a plum. And it was wrapped around my left artery and all the nerves, and my spinal fluid wasn't... What was happening was, is I would move my head in such a way and it would allow a rush of spinal fluid, which would cause those pounding headaches that would last, you know, for 10 seconds or whatever. But
the spinal fluid had begun to collect in his head and behind his eyes and was pushing down on his brain. Mm-hmm. And it was pushing so hard on the back of his eyes that they said within 2 weeks he would have been blind, and within four weeks he would have been dead.
Probably, wow. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So kind of talk us through from that moment to when the surgery actually happened. What was that process like? What did faith look like, and how you prayed, and how did you feel towards God? And then we'll talk about after the surgery, because obviously you're here today.
Yeah, totally healed. You know, and I wasn't like mad at the Lord about it, because it's not like he caused a brain tumor, you know. And I knew that without a doubt, the promise is no matter what, that it's going to be okay. That he's like, cause he's going to be with us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I did have like that overwhelming sense of like, I was okay with whatever happened, because I knew, you know, where I was going, you know, and I knew what happened with, you know, my family would be taken care of. And like, I had that trust that at least that I knew that no matter what, you know, it would be okay. In the long run. I know it'd be hard. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying, like, I just had that piece about that. And it was crazy because they started giving me these steroids that actually really helped with the symptoms because they were trying to get us to go right to we actually ended up getting a referral to UT Southwestern. Mm-hmm. And a doctor out there who was like a specialist in this kind of thing. And
that was very hard to get into.
Yeah, that was a blessing.
That was a miracle.
Our friend Shelley, her dad knew his mentor or something like that. Wow. And was able to make a phone call and
we got
in us
the
in
very best of the best.
And we had like a video conference with him and he was like, look, you know, you guys want to come tomorrow? Like,
wow.
This was Friday, you know, after the Wednesday. And I was like, well, you know, I'm feeling really good. And he's like, well, I think we could wait till Monday. So we went in on Monday. And, you know, I mean, the whole time, I mean, we were trying to talk to the girls about it. And, you know, of course, they were pretty upset about the whole deal. But, like, the premise was is that no matter what happens, we were just going to trust that, you know, he was going to be with us. That no matter what happened, you have to decide that, like, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was an ultimate, you know, a go, no go decision. You had to be like that because otherwise, I mean, it is completely scary and everything happened like in an instant. I mean, it was like we were there and they were doing these tests and then they had to drill a hole in my head and drain the fluid out of it. And that was one thing. And then, you know, then we had the surgery and that was just, it was awful.
Yeah. So it sounds like the Lord gave you peace in that and maybe the whole family felt it. I don't know. Jessica, how did you feel? Because the thought the thought is running through your head of like, my husband might not be here. My girls.
Yeah, it could be being a single mom out of nowhere.
Yeah. Right. And obviously we know that the Lord has been miraculous in y'all's lives for many years. And so obviously there's a strong faith there, but like how did you deal with that? Was there peace or I don't know. How did you feel? How did the girls feel?
You know, when I look back on it, I can see that the Lord was carrying me through that time. I can't say that there's necessarily peace in hearing that your husband has a brain tumor. And so I got to a point of really just taking in the information and asking a lot of questions and then asking a lot of questions from people that could help us talk to our kids. And so they really made it clear that we didn't need to make promises we couldn't keep. Like we couldn't say, Daddy's going to be okay.
Yeah.
He's going to live through this. He's going to come out and everything's going to be fine because we couldn't make that promise. And based on the statistics, Franz is like, he is a walking, talking miracle because of where the tumor was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was that sense of, yes, God's walked us through so many things. And I knew that God would have us. And that no matter what, he would give us the grace for whatever we were facing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was probably more of a sense of, for me, initially wrestling with God for first, not being more sensitive to Franz. Again, saying, take an Excedrin migraine, you're fine. I've had some migraines before. So there was that sense of guilt in there that I was wrestling with the Lord. But then also trying to be there for our kids. When we told them... our oldest daughter got up and ran out of the room crying. And our youngest daughter came over and just put her hands on Franz's head and started praying for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she just started praying. And later on, our oldest daughter comes walking back into the room and she had written a faith declaration about everything that God had done in our family up to that point. And she put it on our bathroom mirror where we could look at this faith declaration. Like she couldn't talk about it, but she went and she wrote it. And so you could see where our kids were walking out what we'd been pouring into them.
Cool.
And so for me, I think it was just a real dependence on the Lord to help me be able to make sure that I was managing all the things with the doctors and the appointments and taking in all the information, making sure that our home was taken care of while we were away, making sure our kids were taken care of. And so I was kind of in that mode of just doing. But there was a sense of peace that does, you know, the peace that does pass understanding. But to say that I was peaceful, I don't, you know, like there's a sense of peace, but peaceful, no, it was more... I mean, just doing everything that I knew that I could do because of a helpless situation.
Yeah.
I'm a doer, and so I couldn't fix what was wrong in Franz, but I could at least do everything I could to serve my family.
clarify too. It's not like I was just full of peace. Like if I didn't make that decision that I was going to stand, you know, firm in what I know that God says,
right,
then I think I would have been a total basket case.
Yeah.
That was the only hope you could really cling to.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things I've heard y'all both talk about a lot is what community felt like and how life groups is a huge deal for us at Bellway. It has been for as long as I can remember in every area of ministry. And I know that in that season, I mean, you talked about your group running in the day y'all found out and, you know, rushing to the parking lot and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And what in that season did community feel like? What was the things that you felt like you needed to rely on them the most about?
Wow. What did our community not do for us?
Exactly.
I mean, they came alongside us in praying for us, praying with us, meals, providing meals, taking care of our pets, offering, you know, somebody came and got our kids the first night that we were at the emergency room till late at night and just took our kids home and they spent the night with them and they kept them the next day while we were having phone conferences with doctors and things.
My boss showed up and, you know, obviously he knew what was going on and knew that I was going to be out for a while and it was no problem. And I mean,
that's cool.
He paid me the whole time.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot.
I mean, and he just said, look, don't worry about money. You know what I mean? I just want you to make sure you focus on worrying, you know, what you just getting better. You know, he was just so concerned about making sure that we were taken care of, you know, and it was like, wow, I just don't have to worry about that. You know what I mean? That's kind of the saying. It was like everything in our life was just, it seemed to be just taken care of.
Yeah.
It went on autopilot and the body of Christ came in and took over and made it where we could be on autopilot. Yeah. I can't imagine walking through something like that without the body of Christ. I mean, our group, when we were at the hospital first night and Franz, I mean, we find out on a Wednesday and Franz has his first surgery the next Monday. Mm-hmm. So we don't even have a week to really think about it. We're just getting everything done, packed. But one thing I do want to point out is that when I was packing, doctors had said we could be there for up to a week, best case scenario, or we could be at the hospital for 6 months. Mm. And so when I was packing for us to leave, the Lord told me very specifically to only pack for a week. Mm. And we ended up only being at the hospital for a week, which was very interesting. But while we were in the hospital, and Franz has this shunt in his head, and I mean, it's disgusting. There's brain juice leaking everywhere. And he's still thinking he's sexy, you know. Oh, I said I wasn't going to use that word. You're welcome to the person listening that knows that that's your word. We were on FaceTime with our community group, and they were talking with us.
Franz posted a video.
Night before?
No, right after the surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, it was intense.
Yeah, I'll say I'm not much of a Facebook or social media person, but really the first video I posted was Friday before we even left. And I mean, like, I was just, this is what's so cool. I was just like, for the next month or months after, I kept getting messages from people like around the world.
Wow.
Messaging me, praying for me. Right.
Wow.
And
I think it was shared more than 200 times.
Yeah.
And there were so many people that started following us and keeping up with and praying you could feel the prayers.
Hey, good things that are coming from social media. Let's put our prayer requests and what we're walking through on social media
want to say, too, that the elders of the church, you know, they did bring us in here and they made time to be there and lay hands on Franz. And during COVID, you know, they were kind of all standing away and Franz was like, somebody put your hands on me because this is what the Bible says is that the elders of the church will come if you are sick to call the elders of the church to come and pray for you.
Yeah.
And so they did that in the middle of that season.
Well, that's good. Real quick, for those that are listening that are going through a difficult situation and they're trying to find that balance or fight that tension of in faith, believing and declaring what God can do, and that, you know, we say at Bellway a lot that the God who did still does, that line of walking in just 100% faith and belief, but then kind of, Jessica, like you also said, you can't make promises that you don't know if they're actually going to be fulfilled. I'd love to hear from both of y'all, kind of speak into that and maybe help someone who's listening, trying to find that similar place of, man, I want to believe the Lord, but mm-hmm. how do I also realistically face this situation?
Yeah.
Boy, that's quite the question, but really at the end of the day, you know, the call is to believe, right? And faith is believing in the things that we cannot see and the hope that we, you know, what can happen will happen. And you have to find some resolution in the fact that no matter what happens, you're going to be good with however God wants to handle it. And trust that whatever it is, whichever way it goes, that he can still work good amidst what happens.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And that comes from a trust and a belief that God is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The circumstances aren't going to dictate whether he's good or not.
Exactly.
He's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a difficult place to come to also, but I know that through y'all's lives and through the testimony you have, you had seen and witnessed multiple points in life mm-hmm. and in the journey of faith that that God is a good God. And so mm-hmm. you had that truth to lean on, and it was probably a lot of times a choosing mm-hmm. to believe.
Absolutely.
Well, and part of it is even remembering. And that's in scripture. We remember the goodness of God. We count mm-hmm. the ways that he's come through before. Yeah. And so it's even with what our oldest daughter did in writing the declarations of what God had already done in our family.
Yeah.
And just keeping that in front of us, like she showed us in that place. Like every time, like I still have that little piece of paper, she showed us. And so we could look back and see that no matter what situation our family had walked through, even the really horrible situations our family had walked through, that there was beauty on mm-hmm. the other side. And so we knew that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that no matter what, he wasn't changing. Yeah. Even if our lives were changing, even if Franz came home totally, you know,
droopy face.
Incapacitated. Yeah, droopy face. I told him I'd still love him if he had a droopy face.
I was like, are you sure?
But
really?
Glad we didn't have to find that out.
Yes, yeah, exactly. But, you know, starting to go back and remember the goodness of God. Yeah. And so that builds faith when we remember how he's already moved, not just in our lives, but again, talking about the community groups, and we served in Reengage for many years here at Beltway, and just seeing all the ways that we had seen God move, even in the lives of the people surrounding us.
That's what gives you the strength to continue on, because sometimes in those moments, you're just so overwhelmed, and things are just, it's whether it's so awful or whatever's happening, and you just can't see past that. The one thing you can do is you can look and account back to what God's already done, and it gives you strength to move forward in such a hard situation.
Yeah, well, that's one of the main reasons we want to do this podcast, is we don't, as many opportunities as we can have about recounting the stories about what God's done in the big stuff like this, but in the, you build faith often in hearing other people's stories about what God's done in your life or in my life or in Brett's life. And that's one of the biggest goals with the podcast, is we just want to, we want to create as many avenues and opportunities as we can to just tell the stories about what God's doing, because it is, you said it, it's in the remembering what God's done that we believe that God will do. Mm-hmm. And it's, we talk about it, but sometimes that's easier said than done. And if we can get ourselves in the habit of telling, these are the God stories, these are the things he's doing, then it helps us whenever we hit the situations that we hope we never do, that we can remember that the God who did still does. So
thank y'all.
Thank y'all for sharing your story.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Franz today and you wouldn't even know. He bounced back.
Outside of not remembering his kids' birthdays.
Yeah, other than that, a little short-term memory loss or long-term memory loss, I don't know. But it's been a miracle, and we continue to look forward to how God moves in and through the Hallgren. So, y'all, thank you so
much. Thank you very much.
For being here.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We want to thank you again for listening today. Thank you so much. Remember, hit that subscribe button so that you can follow and be notified of each podcast that we release each week. And we want to remind you, if you're listening on the main Beltway feed, click over into, we're going to have notes on this podcast, and we want you to subscribe to the Beyond Sundays podcast. So we will move it over completely to that, away from the main Beltway feed after the first two or three episodes. So do that, subscribe to us. Thank you so much. If there's anything you need, reach out to us. We are here for you. We love helping each other take our next steps in our walk with Jesus. And one of the ways we do this is through story, through hearing of the God who did, still does. He's moving in power, and we want to experience that together. So hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next time.